Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get started. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of Florida, a master's degree in education from Armstrong Atlantic State University, and a doctorate in education from Georgia Southern University. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist, a member of both the American Board of Hypnotherapy and the National Guild of Hypnotists, and I'm president of the American Alliance of Hypnotists. I'm the director of the Steve G. Jones School of Clinical Hypnotherapy. I also serve on the board of directors of the American Lung Association in Los Angeles. I have over 2 decades of experience in hypnotherapy, and I still maintain a busy practice and teaching schedule because I see clients and teach classes worldwide. My client base consists mainly of people who want to lose weight, stop smoking, or gain confidence. Other clients include sales teams interested in boosting motivation and increasing income. Also, singles looking for love, insomniacs desiring proper sleep, and actors desiring more confidence for their next audition. When I travel to see clients and teach hypnotherapy certification classes around the world, I visit such places as Tokyo, Japan, Barcelona, Spain, Paris, France, London, England, Montreal, Canada, Los Angeles, California, and New York, just to name a few. By the way, since you have an interest in hypnosis, perhaps you'd be interested in becoming a certified clinical hypnotherapist. It's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com, and click on Hypnosis Classes at the top. You can either train in person or online. After your training, you'll be added to our worldwide directory of certified clinical hypnotherapists, and you'll receive a certificate. I was fortunate for many years to have my office in Beverly Hills, California, where I worked with such wonderful people as Tom Mankiewicz, the writer of Superman, Geraldine Saunders, the writer of The Love Boat, and many other celebrities. I have been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, and appeared on True TV, in addition to having my own hypnosis TV show. With my over 20 years of experience, I'm happy to share with you techniques that I've both developed and learned which can help you improve your life. I encourage you to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. There you will find my life's work, 22 books on hypnotherapy, over 3,000 hypnosis recordings available as downloadable MP3s or CDs, and these recordings will program your mind to achieve goals in such areas as weight loss, motivation, and stopping smoking. I also have audiobooks, such as this one, where I'm talking with you and sharing with you in a very dynamic way techniques that you can use to improve your life and the way you do things. The reason I'm telling you all of this is not to impress you, but to impress upon you that I, your teacher, am very capable and I know what I'm talking about. I'm also very happy for the opportunity to share this information with you, so rest assured that you're in good hands and let's have some fun as we now expand your knowledge. I wish you well in all of your endeavors and please be sure to visit my website, betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. You know, before we start to talk about self-sabotage, I think it's important that you understand exactly what self-sabotage is. Because actually, it's something that's designed to help you. Isn't that shocking that self-sabotage is designed to help you? That is actually your subconscious mind trying to do you a favor and trying to keep you out of pain? In many cases, that's what it is. The problem is that your subconscious mind is not always in line with what you consciously want or what you wish your subconscious mind wanted for you. Because in your waking life, you're probably going around saying, I want to be rich, I want to have a good relationship, I want to be healthy, I want to lose weight, I want, all these wonderful, good, and powerful things that you can ultimately use to help other people because you can serve as an example to other people of how someone can live if they really clear out a lot of the stuff that's holding them back. So I realize that you want to change and you want to make positive changes, and I also realize that those positive changes are going to serve as a wonderful example for other people, so why isn't this happening? You're probably trying, and then scratching your head thinking, why did I fail again? Why did that not work out again? Why am I working against myself? Because really, when you think about it, it's yourself doing it. When we talk about self-sabotage, it's not external sabotage. It's not as if Joe down the road has put up some roadblocks Starbucks and is handing you cake, for example, when you're trying to lose weight, or is handing you a bottle of alcohol when you're trying to stop drinking, or is taking all your money when you're trying to save money and get ahead on your bills and build abundant wealth, it's you doing it. That's what self-sabotage is. So by definition, it's you working against yourself. So why is that? If you getting ahead and you having all these things is actually a good situation for you and all of those whose lives you affect, why is this happening? Why are you battling with yourself? The reason usually is that your subconscious mind feels, and feels is a strange word for the subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind doesn't necessarily have feelings and emotions. It just knows things based on what it's been programmed with. So your subconscious mind is programmed to kick in at a certain point. When it quote unquote feels that you're getting too thin, or feels that you're becoming too attractive, or feels that you have too much money, if it has a program inside it, inside your subconscious mind, that says, wait a minute now, too thin equals too attractive. Too attractive means too much attention from certain people. Too much attention from certain people means trouble, means pain. Therefore, too thin means pain. Here's another example. You're trying to save money, and you're trying to build an abundance of wealth, get ahead on your bills, get everything caught up, and then have extra money. Your subconscious mind says, wait a minute, money is ultimately bad because rich people have money and rich people are bad. Now, these aren't truths, and these aren't necessarily your programs, but these are examples of what could be happening. So your subconscious mind could be thinking, wait a minute, rich people have money, rich people are bad. I'm trying to get money. If I get money and I become abundantly wealthy, I will be bad. Therefore, money for me is bad. That's another possibility. And these are no more true for me than they are for you. I'm just throwing out general examples so you can see how tricky the subconscious mind can be when it comes to interfering with what you're doing. But at the same time, how simple the subconscious mind is. Tricky in the sense that it will undo what you're trying to do just because it doesn't want you to have that, because it equals pain. Whatever it is equals pain of some sort. Simple in the fact that these programs are very basic. Rich equals bad, thin equals pain. These are very basic programs. So once you understand them, you realize why your subconscious mind is getting in there and messing you up. And we'll talk more about that later, about how it gets in there and messes you up, ways you're not even aware of, because the subconscious mind can be tricky in its simplicity. But let's look at another example. You may have a program in your mind that says relationship equals pain. Very common one. Why? Because so many people have breakups. And many people have many breakups. Also, many people have an example in their minds of their parents or the people who raised them, not always the parents, maybe it's one parent, and his or her numerous relationships, or maybe it's two people who are the person's grandparents raising them, or whatever the situation may be. But sometimes there's a program in the person's subconscious mind once they become an adult based on their youth, which says relationships are no good because mommy and daddy fought, or mommy and all her boyfriends fought, or daddy and all his girlfriends fought, or the people who raised me, whoever they were, fought, and so relationships are no good. If there's a program in your subconscious mind that says relationships are no good, what's going to happen when you start to get close to somebody? What's going to happen when you get close to marrying somebody? Your subconscious mind is going to undo the situation to save you from that pain. So you see how the subconscious mind isn't trying to hurt you. It isn't trying to mess you up. It's trying to save you. But at the same time, it really does mess you up because it's getting in there and going against what you consciously want. Deep down inside, you really don't want that. You really don't want that relationship to work out because there's a program inside you, deep down inside, in your subconscious mind that says, that's no good. Relationship, bad. Money, bad. Weight loss, bad. So your subconscious mind finds ways to unravel that, to make that not happen in your life because it wants to save you from pain. Another way that relationship programs tend to get in our subconscious minds is through our relationships. Maybe we try a relationship and it doesn't work. Maybe it's through no fault of our own. Maybe the other person just wasn't ready for it because of their own program and we didn't realize that. But whatever the case, we can have relationships that don't really work out, that end in pain. And this pain can be remembered by the subconscious mind. And it's kind of like putting your hand on the burner of a stove. Well, the first time you put your hand on the hot stove burner, if you don't know anything about hot stove burners, you're going to find out. you're going to find out that you don't do that. That equals pain. So you avoid doing that. Similarly, in a relationship, if it goes the wrong way and leaves you in a very sad state afterwards, it's just like the hot burner. You want to avoid it. Or you want to avoid relationships like that. Maybe the relationship was with someone who was very attractive. Maybe the relationship was with someone who was very wealthy. Maybe the relationship was with a musician. Maybe the relationship was with someone who seems to be married to their career. So your subconscious mind can become very particular. Okay, we'll avoid that. We'll avoid musicians. We'll avoid people who are married to their career. We'll avoid attractive people. We'll avoid this. We'll avoid that. And so the next time a person shows up in your life who has any of those qualities, your subconscious mind automatically categorizes them as no good. Now, this person has no relation to the other person, and their similarities are probably few and far between, except for the fact that they fall into one category that's similar to the other person. They both happen to be musicians, for example. But your subconscious mind is sworn off of musicians. No more musicians, because this last musician was a cheater. And this last musician was never available. And this last musician was abusive. The next one will probably be quite a bit different, but they'll never get the chance because the subconscious mind is running a program that says musicians bad. Sometimes we're consciously aware of that. I've heard people say that they will never date musicians, for example. Females often say that. I'll never date an actor. Some people boil it down to a zodiac sign. I'll never date a particular zodiac sign because in the past, they did. So sometimes we can be consciously aware of that, but other times we're not. In most cases, we're not. And we're working against ourselves and we don't even realize it. We think we're working toward a goal, but our subconscious mind has got a completely different agenda. That is self-sabotage. That is working against yourself. If you're aware of what's going on, if you're aware that you don't like musicians, and you're consciously aware that you are going to undo the relationship, and you make a conscious decision not to date a musician, that's not necessarily self-sabotage. That's not pure self-sabotage. That's more of a decision. You're in line with your subconscious mind. You and your subconscious mind agree, hey, musicians, no good. We're going to avoid them. But pure self-sabotage, the kind that I really want to help you with, is the kind that you are not even aware of, the kind that happens every day in little actions that you take against yourself. So up until now, if you didn't know about self-sabotage, you may have been baffled every time that you ended up with no money, every time that you seemed to be amassing some money and then went off to Vegas or Atlantic City or somewhere else where there's a casino and lost a bunch of money coincidentally. I mean, you thought that you could win, but you didn't. And that could have been baffling to you. How could that have happened? How could I have lost $5,000 in one weekend when all I had was $5,000? Well, your subconscious mind has a little thermostat in it, and if you don't feel you should have abundance of money because you feel that money equals pain, then once that thermostat reaches a certain temperature, in this case, a certain amount of money, what happens? The air conditioning comes on and cools it off. In this case, your subconscious mind makes sure that you lose money. Because when you gamble, your subconscious mind understands that you have a wonderful opportunity to lose money. All you have to do is continue gambling, and eventually you're going to lose. Gamblers quite often have similar stories. They are at the blackjack table, and they were up several thousand dollars. But they couldn't walk away. They'll say that. They couldn't. They'll use the word couldn't. Is that true? Of course it's not true. Of course they could walk away. All they had to do was stand up and walk away. Everyone probably would have applauded them. Congratulations, you won. Even the dealer would have applauded them. The dealer doesn't care. The dealer works for the house. The dealer gets the same amount of money no matter what you do. So no one was stopping that person from going anywhere. They would have been very happy if that person would have taken their winnings and walked off a hero. Wow, somebody finally won. Thank goodness. You don't see that very often. That's great. Everyone would have been happy. So when they say they couldn't walk away, that means there was a program running inside of them, a program that they mistook for excitement, a program which was actually saying, keep gambling, keep betting, until you lose everything that you need to lose. And if you haven't lost enough, go to the ATM machine, withdraw some more money, and lose that too. That's what the program said. They mistook that for excitement, the excitement of gambling. What was actually happening is a program was kicking in full gear, causing them to drain that money out, draining that money until it was down to the level where the subconscious mind was happy. The person, of course, feels sad and upset and angry at that point, but the subconscious mind is satisfied. Now that person is able to stop gambling for now until they amass more money that needs to be drained also. It's the same thing that happens in a relationship. If in your subconscious mind, a relationship equals pain and misery because you've seen that before in yourself or in your parental role models or any other kind of role model that you may have had in your life, if a relationship equals misery and pain and suffering and sadness and so forth, your subconscious mind doesn't want any part of it. You see, in the gambling example, it's not as if your subconscious mind wanted you to feel pain and wanted you to feel misery and wanted you to feel sadness. No. Your subconscious mind wanted you to feel quite the opposite. Your subconscious mind is interested in you being okay, in you feeling actually good about yourself. The challenge was that your subconscious mind had a program in it that said, money equals trouble, money equals pain, money equals sadness, money equals isolation, money equals being a bad person. Whatever money equaled that was not good caused your subconscious mind to say, wait a minute, that's not for us. We don't want those things. Those are negative things. If we don't have money, we'll be okay, and we want to be okay. So you see how your subconscious mind had to drain you of that money, and you were, in the moment, upset about it, but in the long run, your subconscious mind felt it was better for you because you wouldn't have the challenges associated with money. So back to our relationship example, if you feel that a relationship equals pain, suffering, sadness, if you feel that it will eventually lead to a loss, that person will eventually leave you anyway, then your subconscious mind will have a program, in that case, a very specific program that says, leave them before they leave you. That's a common program. It's not as if you don't like that person. It's not as if you don't love that person. It's not as if you want to punish yourself. In fact, all of the opposites are true. You like that person. You love that person. You do not want to punish yourself. You do not want to feel sadness. But your subconscious mind has a program in it, or maybe multiple programs that say things such as relationships lead to fights. Relationships lead to the other person leaving you. Relationships ultimately lead to sadness and bitterness. Avoid relationships. That can be a complete program in your mind. And you see how simple it is. If it were a computer code, it would just be maybe 5 lines of code. Very simple. But the way it's initiated can be very complex and can happen in ways that you're not really aware of. For example, when we get it right down to a microscopic level, in a relationship, you can do something that makes the other person upset. Your subconscious mind is always listening for ways to undo the relationship. If you have a self-sabotage program, how can I get out of this? How can I undo this? Everything seems to be going really well. That's a challenge for the subconscious mind. Things are going well. Let's look for a way to undo that. So now your subconscious mind really has to work. If the relationship is going to lead to pain, according to your subconscious mind, that's the program. And if the relationship at the same time is going really well, your subconscious mind has a real challenge. Now it has to get clever. It has to find a way to undo it. It can do this in a number of ways. It can cause you to want to cheat, for example. It can cause you to want to be with somebody else. That's one way you can potentially undo it. However, if the other person doesn't really care about cheating, that's no good. That's not going to work. So your subconscious mind has to go down the list. Okay, cheating may or may not work. What about the old drinking habit? This person doesn't like drinking. What about the old drinking habit? We'll bring that back in full gear. So it can activate the drinking program, which causes you to drink more. I'm talking about alcohol, of course. That may or may not work. Let's say, for example, that doesn't work. Okay, we tried that. That didn't work. We've got a really tough challenge here because this other person, the significant other, isn't letting go. What else can we do? I know. We can start forgetting key things. Let's run that program. So suddenly you start forgetting that they like to have this done for them or that done for them, or you forget the anniversary, or you forget to meet them at certain times you're supposed to meet them. You honestly actually do start to forget these things. It's not as if you're plotting consciously, okay, I'm going to pretend that I forgot this, or I'm going to pretend that I don't remember their favorite color. Your subconscious mind can actually run programs that cause you to forget those things. Isn't that interesting? And isn't that almost scary that you can work against yourself to that degree? So the point is, eventually your subconscious mind is going to find a way to undo the relationship, because the relationship leads to pain. So what you had was the ideal relationship. You love this person. They loved you. Why did it not work out? Why did it go sour? Because of that program or that group of programs that was running in your subconscious mind. The point of this entire program that you're listening to now is to undo those programs, to get you enlightened to the point that you can see what you're doing. That's the ultimate goal of this program, so you can see what you're doing. When your subconscious mind starts running those programs, you can recognize them. Aha, wait a minute now. This is a sabotage program. But then the challenge becomes, how do I get that out? Because it's in your subconscious mind. Consciously, you can acknowledge it, but it's still in there. So it becomes almost as challenging as getting rid of a memory. You realize there's a memory in your subconscious mind and you want to get rid of that memory. Well, how do you do that? The truth is that memories are not erasable just by words or hypnosis or anything like that. You're not going to erase the memory, because there's an organic component to that memory. Organically, physically, it's stored in your brain somewhere. So you're not going to, just through words, get rid of that memory. What you can do is scramble your access to that memory. If you have a painful memory, or a memory that at the time was wonderful, let's say you have a memory of you and somebody else, and it was a wonderful memory, until the two of you broke up, now it's a painful memory. Well, I have a recording for that. I have a memory eraser program for that, a hypnosis program that's become very popular, and it's available at betterlivingwithhypnosis.com. But that hypnosis recording does not go in there and erase the memory. It scrambles your conscious access to that memory. It re-encodes the memory itself so that that memory is no longer the pure memory. It's got something added to it. So you can add to a memory. You can go back in there and you can add to it. You can change it around by adding to it. That way, it's no longer a memory of the two of you on a gondola going down the river, having Merlot and cheese. It's a memory of the two of you on a gondola with a cartoon character sitting between you and some other things going on, and that's no longer a romantic memory. We've added to the memory. That's how my memory eraser program works, for erasing relationship memories. It doesn't necessarily erase them. It changes them to the point that they no longer have a charge on them. They no longer have an emotional charge. That's not really a romantic memory. You and the other person and a cartoon character and some other silly things going on, that's no longer romantic. That's just silly. That's the same technique that you are going to use to undo your sabotage patterns. That's one of the ways you're going to undo them, by introducing other things to the program that make the program no longer able to run. You have this program in your subconscious mind. We want to scramble it. It's kind of like when you're doing web design, if you've ever done that, or doing any kind of computer programming. If you add one little wrong character to your program, it can cause the whole program to not run properly. If you're building a web page, for example, and you put one wrong character, it can mess up everything. Suddenly, that program is no longer the program you thought it was, because the computer doesn't understand. The computer doesn't have the ability to say, wait a minute, this thing doesn't belong here. Let's just go ahead and take it out. No. At the very best, it will display that strange thing on the screen as a strange thing. At the very worst, it will cause the whole program not to even run. Because programs, at least at this point, do not have the ability to say, wait a minute, this is a mistake. Let's just eliminate it for them. Let's take it out. So one of the ways you're going to stop your self-sabotage is by rendering your programs non-functional, by introducing elements to them, just like you could accidentally introduce an element to a web page that will cause them to not run properly, that will cause them to no longer cause you challenges. The other way, which is even more powerful, is, as I mentioned a few moments ago, for you to gain insight into what's going on, for you to recognize these programs when they're running and take a stand and say, wait a minute, not going to let it happen. Not going to let it happen this time. This is a sabotage program. And what becomes powerful in that moment, especially when you're dealing with a relationship that you're self-sabotaging, is that you can talk to the other person and say, you know what? In the past, I've run a self-sabotage program at this point, at this very point, at the 8-month point, for example. 8 months into a relationship, I start to panic and I start to do really crazy things that are really going to mess up the relationship. I realize now That's part of a self-sabotage program, and I'm not going to do them anymore. And if I do them, I want you to point them out to me because I want to be aware of them. So in a relationship, you have that ability to kind of dance with it, kind of have a dance partner, your significant other, and between the two of you, you can work around these things. You can recognize them and work around them. And you can render them ineffective in that sense. So that's another powerful way in which you're going to be able to stop self-sabotage. Unfortunately, when you have self-sabotage in the money arena, let's say you're self-sabotaging your wealth and you have a gambling challenge, for example, or some other way of investing a bunch of money in ways that your subconscious mind knows will not work out, like the stock market, for example, or business ventures that are really not very productive, and your subconscious mind knows this, those become more challenging because then it's not you with a partner and talking these things out, it's you with money. And money doesn't have a conscience or ears or anything like that. Money is just money. So it becomes a bit more challenging. And with gamblers in particular, they can tell somebody else, hey, don't let me have access to this money because I'm a gambler. You know, they can get really honest. They can seek someone's help and do these things and say, hey, here are my credit cards. Here's access to my money. Don't let me have access to this, okay? Because I'm a gambler and I'm only going to do non-productive things with that money. And so I need you to limit my access to that money. But guess what? A gambler finds a way to get that money. No matter what, they find a way to get access to that money. Sort of like when I had my office in Beverly Hills and I was dealing with smokers every now and then. A smoker would come into the office and I would say, throw your cigarettes out in the trash can before you come in my office. Well, what happens when they come in the office? We talk, find out who they are. I spend an hour with them writing down information about who they are and what they want from me. And then we have a little break before the hypnosis session. I haven't done any hypnosis. I haven't changed them yet. I've just taken information and gotten to know them. What happens in many cases? They go right down to that trash can where they threw their cigarettes out and they pick them up and they have a smoke. Well, after the hypnosis session, it's a different story because then I've programmed them to stop. So they don't revisit the trash can after that. But you see how throwing the cigarettes in the trash can is not good enough? It doesn't matter because their subconscious mind knows where they are. It's kind of like putting them in storage. They know where they are. And smokers have no problem reaching into a filthy trash can and picking out the cigarettes, whether they're in a pack or not, and smoking them, because smokers get that focused on smoking and everything else becomes meaningless. Oh, filthy trash can, people watching me, I don't care about that. I don't care about any of that. I'm just going to get the cigarettes. Gamblers get the same way. So when it's between you and the cigarettes or you and the money, it becomes a bit more challenging than when it's in a relationship. Because in a relationship, you have the ability to talk to an intelligent thinking person and to reason it out with them. In the other situations, you're dealing with objects that have no intelligence, have no emotions. They're just things. Cigarettes, money, for example. So the challenge becomes different. So a little later in the program, we're going to address those sorts of scenarios also. But now you understand an overview of what's going on. You understand what self-sabotage is. You understand what you're up against. You understand the challenge. But I want you to get excited now because I want you to realize that you can and will overcome this. Hopefully, as I've been talking and you've been listening for this first part of the program, you've had some insights and you've had some aha moments and you've seen yourself in some of the things I've said. Maybe not directly. Maybe those aren't your challenges directly. Maybe they are. But maybe you've taken the examples that I've given and seen yourself in them in some way. And you realize now that I realize what's going on with you. And you realize that since I realize what's going on with you, I probably also have some really powerful solutions for you since I've already seen through this. Since I've already seen this in action and I've helped people through this and I know what's going on. So get more excited, get into it, get ready to change your self-sabotage programs and get ready to start taking control of your life. Get ready to start living life on your terms.